I'm here today with my brother Sean Reese, and he just got back from a trip. He was in, he was in Zambia, Egypt, and Botswana. Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell us about all the things that the Lord is doing among our brothers and sisters, among those in the church in those areas. All right, hey, how you doing? Are you tired?
I'm still hurting, yes.
That's what happens to old men when they take long trips.
Yeah.
So tell me, how did it all go?
As always, it was an encouraging trip. I love it. I told some of the brothers there, I said, I love when I can't wait to get back to the office and tell what I've seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And that happens quite regularly in Africa. The first stop was Zambia. I think I mentioned in our interview before the trip.
Now, how long, before you get started, how long is that air flight from here to Zambia? To Lusaka?
It took me over 20 hours to get there. I went by way of Addis Ababa in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
But it took me 20 hours to get from Botswana up to Egypt on the same continent. There was no easy way to get there.
Yeah, I remember the first time, or one of the first times I flew to Zambia, they stopped in Dakar. And, you know, the pilot announced we'll be landing in Dakar in Africa. And I thought, oh, wow. That's not that long a trip. You know, it was only several hours and we're already here to Africa. We weren't even halfway to Zambia. That's how big Africa is.
Yeah.
So what went on?
Well, you can imagine I land in Zambia late in the evening, get a few hours sleep, and then the missions coordinator for Kabwata Baptist Church, Meshek, he and I were up well before sunrise and driving 12 hours to northern Zambia. To visit Joshua Lungu in Kasama. Kasama is significant because it was the last provincial capital that the Reformed Baptists had not planted a church in. And they had waited years for God to raise up a man. They were excited when Joshua came along, and they're still excited about him. He's been there 2 years now, has about between 40 and 50 in regular attendance.
Wow.
Has some men that are coming along as far as leadership. They have three plots of land. This was one of the surprises that I did not know about. It's hard to get a plot of land a lot of times, but they were able to get these at amazing prices, and they have big plans for them. One of them they want to put their church structure on. One they want to put a little Christian school because there's no school in this new housing area for the children. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, they want eventually a northern extension of the ministerial college.
They do have big plans, don't they?
They do. But Joshua's doing really, really strong work. I also got to sit in with him while he preached on the local radio station. Uh-huh. And just his zeal and enthusiasm as he preached from the Gospel of John. and a lot of people there in Africa still listen to the radio.
Right.
So that was an encouraging visit. We were there one day, turned around, drove 10 hours back to a city called Kabwe. Kabwe is just north of the capital, Lusaka, on the way up to the Copper Belt on the Congo border. And Brother Samuel Kasonde is planting a church. There's already an established Reformed Baptist church in Kabwe called Bethel. And they were sending Samuel to one of the poorer areas of their city.
Do you know, have any idea how big that city is, population?
I'm guessing a half million.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a significant size. And this poorer area, I mean, there's rampant not only poverty, but drunkenness, immorality, witchcraft. And so he was going into a very hard area. And he's been over there just over a year, faithfully just going out, sharing the gospel. He said at first, you know, he would visit homes, families, and then all he would get was the children that would come to church. And then there were some youth that started coming. And then the women started coming. And now finally he's getting the more mature married men.
Great. Wonderful.
And so he also has a group of almost 50 on a regular basis in just over a year. I think last Sunday they were having their first baptism service and were baptizing four.
Wow.
Of six that they've seen converted. A couple of them are still going through kind of a new Christian New Believers course and baptism class. So Those men are doing good, solid work in Zambia.
Oh, that's good news from the front then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be hearing about it though soon, won't we? They'll have some requests.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Speaking of requests, I did have the opportunity to spend a night with Conrad, Pastor Conrad in Bayway. And as always, big things happening in Africa. As you know, with the last time we talked to him, he talked to us about helping with a guy in Nigeria
right.
that they've sent.
Right.
While I was there, I also got to meet a brother named Joe Shoko, who's Zimbabwean, and Kabwata is going to send him back to Harare, to the capital of Zimbabwe, to plant a church there. So we'll probably be hearing about that.
Amen.
And then another brother in Namibia. There's very few solid biblical churches in Namibia.
Right.
So lots of things happening there.
That is exciting. So
yeah.
After that, what happened?
Well, then I made my way to Botswana to our brother Monametsi Bahudi, who's been in Habaroni. That's a mouthful.
That is. That, the whole thing, the name, the city, everything. I always laugh when we get to this point.
Botswana has been tough going for years. The church started with several Zambians, the Zambian Reformed Baptists that were there. A Zambian pastor was never able to get the work visa to come. And in God's providence, he eventually took all the Zambians back home. And now it's Botswanans reaching Botswanans. And Brother Bahudi, you know, I knew it was tough work, but when I got there, I found the church healthier and stronger than I expected. And that was exciting. Several young families, so lots of children running around, young adults, professionals there. So he's got a core group. He's got a couple of men that are coming along very well, probably be ready for eldership soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have a nice meeting place. So I was really pleased with the work there. The again, in the pre-trip interview, I think I mentioned one of the struggles has been financial faithfulness. And, you know, it's so hard in that African context with the prosperity cult. You know, there's just a bad taste in people's mouth who've come out of that to talk about giving and supporting the pastor because they've been manipulated for years. So I helped Brother Bahudi out and preached a couple of messages on the importance of strengthening their church, supporting their pastor, and then ultimately giving toward missions in their own country, but having the priorities right.
Yeah, I think there's something real important here to point out that especially among the Africans, when Conrad and the men that work with him, when they talk about having leaders who are being prepared, it means that they're taking 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1 and the qualifications of an elder very seriously. You see, that's so very important. As a matter of fact, I was amazed at the strictness of those men, that it's not enough to aspire to be an overseer, but you must have all those character qualifications and the knowledge of the word in order to actually be accepted as one. And that's what makes that work so strong.
Yes.
Right. All right. Then what?
Well, then from Botswana, it was a long way to Egypt through South Africa, Dubai, and then Alexandria. And there I was attending a conference. It was amazing. The conference was not during a key school break. There were no celebrity speakers. They were expecting, I think, maybe 60, and they had 180 and had to cut off registration because the conference facility couldn't hold anymore.
Wow.
And the subject was tough. They really exposed our tendency toward a man-centered approach in how we read the scripture, how we worship, how our involvement in the body of the church body. Even man-centeredness in suffering. And so they, all of the preaching was on a God-centered view of all those things.
So they went right to the root of the problem.
They did. Yeah. They did. And you could tell some people were a bit surprised by the, you know, it was some new things, really good Q&A time, and of course discussions in between. It was a local Presbyterian Egyptian brother who teaches in their theology school there, and then two men from the United Arab Emirates that pastor solid international churches there.
Yes, I know those men. They are very worthy.
Yeah. So I was greatly encouraged by that. It was a powerful time of relationship building with folks there. And I've got to tell you, one of the things that maybe moved me the most, we partner with a translation and publishing ministry there.
Yes, let me say something real quick.
Yeah.
If you notice, when we were talking about Africa, of course, we were name dropping. We were talking about the names of different missionaries and things. When we move into this area of the world, that has to cease. It's a very, very delicate matter. And we're not trying to be showboating or anything like that, but there are simply some places where the missionaries, the pastors, and the workers in the field, they must remain anonymous.
Yeah. So with this publishing ministry that we have sort of worked with, and they've been very busy with your books, I walked into the conference center, into the main reception, and there was, you know, one of those big folding tables covered with books. Your new Knowing the Living God workbook, the Gospel Power and Message, your gospel booklet, which everyone at the conference received one of these for free. There was Brother Charles Leiter's book, Justification and Regeneration. There was Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, and then several other of the Nine Marks series. And then our Presbyterian brothers had two of Dr. Sproul's Ligonier Crucial Questions books. Covered the table, but what moved me was Heart Cry donors funded at least the translation of all those resources, even the Ligonier ones.
Right.
And in many cases, we funded both the translation and publishing. And when I saw that table, I mean, it almost moved me to tears to see all those solid biblical resources. But they didn't stay on the table. People were buying the books. And to see people walking around with a big bag of good books and see them thumbing through your workbook, those books are going to go places we'll never go.
Yeah, that's,
outlive us.
That's something that's also very important. You know, we have preachers and, of course, writers at Heart Cry, but a lot of the translating work we do around the world is not for our preachers or our writers. Anyone who is producing good discipleship material, you know, we try to use Heart Cry resources in order to get that material into other languages. And it is such a blessing. You just have to realize that there are places in this world where men have not had the opportunity to study, where they do not have concordances or dictionaries or systematic theologies or commentaries. And one of the big parts of our ministry is to simply find key pieces of biblical Christian literature and get it to these places and to these men.
Mm-hmm.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
I was always amazed at how much, you know, we talk about the preaching during the Reformation and things like that, but, you know, sometimes we overlook the Gutenberg Press and the fact that books began to be printed, Bibles began to be printed so that men could study God's Word. So everything went well in Egypt. What else?
Yeah, that was basically the trip. It was a lot of fun. It was a little bit sad to leave Egypt. They are a fun people.
Yes, they are. I told somebody a while back, I said, I could never live in Egypt. And they said, why? I said, because I would weigh 800 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the man who ate Cairo. It is very, very good food. And a lovely people also. And I think one of the things that's so special, getting to see so many places around the world, is that every time I go somewhere, I'm thinking about, you know, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Mm-hmm. You know, all those nations before the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And when we can go into those jungles, we can go into those deserts, we can go into those city areas and know that if we pray, if we preach long enough, someone's coming out of there saved. And it's sometimes I feel like it's God telling us, look, Paul, go over there and get them. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. I want to, of course, thank the Lord for allowing us to do this work. But I also just want you to know that we realize that everything we do, not only here in the United States and in different parts of the world, but everything that we do is because of your kindness, your prayers, your giving, and we thank you so much for that. And we pray that God will cause you to grow in grace, and that God will save your loved ones, and that Jesus Christ will come soon. God bless you.